first station, WWJ and WWJ-FM, the Detroit News. 9 p.m. BULOVA, Bulova Watch Time. For Christmas, there's no finer gift than a Bulova watch. No finer time to choose it than now.
Of the University of Southern California, it's the new Swan Show with our great singing star, Doris Day.
Well, I swan!
Our new singing favorite, Bill Farrell.
That's me.
Irene Ryan, the Four Hits and a Miss, the new Les Brown Band.
We are Swan exclusively, how about you?
Yes, how about you?
Who, me? My name is Robert Phi Beta Schmo Hope.
Swan's Eye View of the News. New York, New York. The costliest longshoreman strike in maritime history was settled this week as East and West Coast dock workers reached an agreement with ship owners.
Isn't that great? The boats are sailing again. It surely makes me happy. It's been so lonesome in my bathtub. And what a reception that first American boat will get when it docks in England. I can just see it now. Flags waving, bands playing, tourists lining the rails, Attlee and Churchill diving for coins. £400 of meat were left stranded on one dock here in Los Angeles, and ever since the Paramount switchboard has been swamped with calls. Is Hope making a picture again?
Hollywood, California. The Film City's famous Santa Claus Lane was officially opened this week with a gigantic parade of stars down Hollywood Boulevard.
It was a pretty cold night, but Jack Benny kept warm on his float with a Lucky Strike toasting machine, and Edgar Bergen had a big steaming coffee cup. I almost froze in that bathtub with just a handful of lather. When Santa Claus came by, Phil Harris yelled, "Merry Christmas," and his breath barbecued two reindeer. And all along Hollywood Boulevard were giant Christmas tree. Christmas tree. In California, that's a palm tree with dandruff. And the Christmas trees up and down both sides of the boulevard really confused the birds. They began trying to hatch the light bulbs. A pigeon was sitting in a light when it turned red. She looked down at it and said, "Either I'm colorblind or I'm the mother of a communist." And people came in from way out in the country to see Santa Claus Lane. One farmer stayed at the parade so long, when he got home, he went out and found milk all over the barn. He said, "What happened?" The cow said, "What did you want me to do, transcribe it for release at a more convenient time?" But I've always loved Christmas. My parents were too poor to hang a stocking. Instead, they used to nail me to the mantelpiece with my mouth open.
Washington, D.C., a noted psychiatrist this week advanced the theory that Joseph Stalin is a dictator today because as a child he received harsh treatment from his father.
That's true. When Stalin was only 6 years old, his father made him shave his mustache off. But can't you just see Stalin lying on a psychiatrist's couch telling him his life story, then sending the psychiatrist to Siberia because he knows too much? But those psychiatrists really get some peculiar cases. The other day, a doctor friend of mine had a patient who said he was a chicken and laid an egg in the office to prove it. That's not the finish. Wait a minute. The psychiatrist said, "I've never seen anything like this before. Do you mind if I call in my two associates?" The man said, "For a consultation?" He said, "No, we haven't had breakfast yet." That's the finish. And psychiatry has discovered that girls can pick the right type of husband by their dreams. In other words, if you dream of Gary Cooper, you want a tall, silent man. If you dream of Charles Boyer, you want a suave, sophisticated man. And if you dream of Crosby, you shouldn't have eaten that lobster.
The sports Page, with Oklahoma and North Carolina set to play in the Sugar Bowl, Georgia and Texas in the Orange Bowl, and Southern Methodist and Oregon in the Cotton Bowl, the nation waited breathlessly for the biggest game of all.
Of course, you mean the Rose Bowl.
Oh, no, Bob, no. I mean the big battle between dirt and Swan soap in the Wash Bowl.
Yes, sir. He had to run 90 yards with a Lever brother under each arm to get it, but there it is.
Well, Bob, the sight of Swan going to work is a great spectacle. Swan is the newer, better white floating soap. For instance, for your bath, Swan's lather is richer, creamier. Swan never leaves your skin with that taut, soapy feeling. Swan rinses away so completely, it leaves your skin soft and smooth. And because Swan never crumbles, it's a real money saver. It lasts longer.
I should say it does last a long time. We couldn't get rid of our last cake. I finally put a leg on each corner and sold it to a midget for a bridge table.
And in addition to being economical, Swan is a better white floating soap in a lot of other ways, too. Because Swan is made by a modern patented process no other soap can use. So break Swan. See how you get two lovely, smooth cakes that are never rough or crumbly. It's another way to prove that Swan is a better white floating soap. Better for dishes and hands. Better for baths. Better for baby. Better for you. Swan is the best soap afloat.
Well, I swan.
Me too.
It's so thrifty.
You said it.
Shall we wrap it up? Here's our young baritone we borrowed from the Oasis Club near SC. Cleveland's own Billy Farrell, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't whisper things to me you don't need. For words deep down inside can be seen by the night. The night has a thousand eyes, and it knows a truthful heart from one that lies. Though romance may have paused in the past, my love for you will be everlasting and bright. As bright as the starlit sky, as this wondrous night that has a thousand eyes. I've lived my life walking through a dream, for I knew that I would find this moment supreme. A night of bliss and tender sighs, and the smiling down of a thousand eyes. Oh, the lonely night has a thousand eyes.
That's fine, Billy. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we have one of the older singers, Mr. Bing Crosby, with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, the week of November 30th is the annual homecoming week at the University of Southern California. And although Bob Hope's alma mater is the $2 window at Santa Anita, he thought it would be nice to take the entire show to the Southern California campus. So yesterday, the phone rang in the office of the president, Dr. Frederick Fay.
Hello, this is Dr. Fay speaking.
Oh, well, this is Bob Hope, and I was thinking, this is homecoming week, you know, and I was thinking I'd like to take my radio show to some university that was close by.
Have you tried Harvard?
No, I'm serious, Prez. I got all excited, and it kind of made up my mind to come over there.
Okay, I'll go to Harvard.
Oh, gee, I didn't expect a reception like this. The last time I was over there, you got to know me pretty well. I even gave you my phone number.
Yes, I know.
Well, how come we haven't seen each other since then?
Oh, I don't know. Just lucky, I guess.
drunk over there anyway. Well, jump in the car, Doris, and we'll get started for USC.
Okay. Gee, Bob, this car hasn't got any fenders, no top, and no windshield.
Of course not. It's a hot rod, Doris. I made it myself, and there's nothing like it on the road. It's an old Maytag washer with a motor out of a Singer sewing machine.
Well, has it got any speed?
Doris, it'll go 110 miles an hour, and besides, it's very economical. You just fill it up with lighter fluid, drop in a four-way coal tablet, and hang on. Fasten your safety belt and brace yourself, Doris. Here we go.
Bob, why are you stopping?
I have to wait for the wheels to catch up with it.
Bob, be careful. Watch out! Bob! Bob, you almost hit five cars already.
I know it. Hand me that microphone. Calling all hot rod drivers, calling all hot rods. Hunting is good on Wilshire. Come and get it. Doris, I'll bet I look like a real college guy in this car. How do you like the foxtail?
Bob, the foxtail's supposed to hang on the radiator cap, not on the rear bumper.
Well, that's where a fox wears it. Well, I guess I'd better turn into this service station.
Why, are we out of gas?
No, but I want the man to oil the propeller on my beanie. Butch Jenkins writing for me now, you know. Oh, well, as long as we're here already, I'll let it go till later. I'll park right here.
Gee, isn't the campus lovely this time of the evening, Bob? Hey. Hey, look over there. That's the statue of the famous Trojan warrior.
Oh, is that the Trojan warrior?
Yes.
I better put on my glasses. I thought Ingrid Bergman had gotten off her horse to take a rest. Better get over to the auditorium and...
Oh, look who's coming down the walk, Bob. It's Miss Ryan.
Yeah, I sure hope she doesn't start talking about all her pain.
Oh, Bob, she doesn't make such a big thing of her ailment.
Not much. Look at the hat she's wearing. The veil's made of surgical gauze with aspirin sequins.
Hello, everybody.
Well, Miss Ryan, you look nice. How are you feeling?
Well, I guess I'm about as well as could be expected.
Well, maybe it's your circulation that needs stepping up. I'm not as young as I used to be, but I'm still setting a fast pace.
Yes, Sister Hope, but what you don't know is that all the time you're setting a fast pace, your artery's on a slow boat to the Mayo Clinic. You know, your body is just like a car motor. It's got to run down sometime.
Oh, I wouldn't worry, Miss Ryan. You've still got a lot of mileage left.
Well, maybe so, but lately I've been feeling like my speedometer's been tampered with.
Miss Ryan, what are you doing over here at the university?
Well, Doris, I was invited to a dance. He's a very nice man, one of the old alumni. He's a professor, and he sort of took a fancy to me.
Oh, he did?
Yes. He teaches dead languages. Of enrolling in one of his courses.
Well, why should you want to know how to speak dead languages?
Well, we all have to go on that trip sometime. And if I get lost, I want to be able to ask directions.
On Thanksgiving, she had the only turkey in town stuffed with adrenaline.
I was always sorry that I didn't go to college. I wanted to join a sorority.
Well, I can understand your disappointment.
Well, now that I'm older, I've joined a club that's practically the same. Of course, it's all girls of my age.
Well, what's the name of it?
The Glendale Pinochle Crocheting and Veterans of the Scalpel Club.
Is it more or less of a social group, Miss Ryan?
Yes, there's always something on our calendar. Last week, we tried to have a taffy pull, but it was a failure. Nobody in the club had strength enough to pull the taffy. So it just had to lay there like the rest of us. Well, see you later now. Goodbye.
And what are you doing with that USC sweater on?
Well, I'm not a student here, but I'm an honorary cheerleader. The USC stands for something more important than the University of Southern California.
For instance?
Use Swan constantly.
That's a hooper that you can hear, you see. You know, of course you can always go to Nielsen, but tell me, you know, if we don't sell it this way, they make me take a market basket right into the steam room at the Y.
With your being a cheerleader.
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Doris. Listen to this new yell I made up. USC, USC, a cake of Swan is the soap for me.
Hi.
Hang that referee, get the rope. Swan is a better white floating soap.
Boy.
Watch that pass, grab that fumble. Swan stays firm, it doesn't crumble.
Kid.
Rickety rack, break it in two. Good old Swan is the soap for you. Rah, rah, rah.
Hi. Did you ever think of putting another hole in your head so you could use it for bowling?
But, Bob, Swan is something to cheer about because it's faster, harder-working suds rinse away so completely the dishes never need wiping. And those richer suds protect your hands. Leave them soft and smooth.
Well, he's right about Swan making your hands soft and smooth. My hands are so smooth, the only way I can keep my gloves on is with thumbtacks.
Yes, sir, whether you're at home, in college, at school, or a baby in a nursery, you'll find Swan is the best soap afloat.
Hello. The top request of the students here at SC has been for Doris Day to repeat her original recording of It's Magic.
He's sigh, the song begins, you speak, and I hear violin. It's magic. The stars who bird the skies and rest and nestle in your eyes. It's magic. Without a golden wand, a mystic charm. Fantastic things begin when I'm in your arms. When we walk hand in hand, world becomes a wonderland. It's magic. How else can I explain those rainbows when there is no rain? Why do I sell myself? These things that happen, not all really true. When in my heart I know the magic is my love for.
Football is one of the nation's favorite sports. And the men who play college football have become heroes to all of us. But what makes a football player great? How do they become heroes of the gridiron? Here is the story of such a man.
My name is Robert Dahl Hope. I I guess I knew I was going to be a football player from the day I was born. I'll never forget that day. The doctor started to slap me, and I gave him a 15-yard penalty for clipping. When I was old enough, my parents sent me to grammar school. Then I went on to high school. I did so well in high school, they gave me a scholarship to go back to grammar school. Finally, I was ready for college. Mother wanted me to go to medical school and become a doctor, but I knew I wasn't qualified to become a doctor. You see, I smoked Chesterfields. So I picked out a school for myself, the University of Southern California. I shall never forget the touching scene that took place the day I said goodbye to my father. He looked at me with his cold, cold eyes and said,
"Will you please get me a blanket for my eyes?"
You sent for me, Father?
Yes. Robert, you're leaving home tomorrow, and I want to ask you something.
Yes, Dad.
Why don't you leave today?
Gee, Dad, aren't you sad to see me go?
Yes, I am, boy. Your mother and I have sacrificed a lot to give you this chance. We've had to do a lot to get your tuition money. Your mother had to take in washing. She worked in a blacksmith shop. For 3 years, she drove an oil truck. 1 year, she earned money as a car hop in the daytime and worked in a coal mine at night.
Gee, that's wonderful. What'd you do, Dad?
I gave her rub downs. So you see, Robert, it's important that you make good at college.
Dad, you know I see eye to eye with you on that, even if I have to get down on my knees to do it. But you'll be... you'll be proud of me. I'm going to be a star on the football team.
Well, now, don't forget, son. When you get to college, there are other things besides football. You remember our talk about the birds and the bees?
Yeah, Pop, but all the girls do is laugh at me when I go... And so I left for college. A few days later, I arrived at my destination. There it stood before me, a magnificent structure of tremendous size. I knew it was either USC or the new Rexall drugstore. I wanted to get right down to business, so I went straight to the main building, but the girls' gym was closed. After I raised my schedule, I started going to classes. That was when I met Doris. It was in biology class. She was beautiful. She was a vision of loveliness as she walked around the desk toward me. I didn't know there were that many fraternity pins.
You're new in school, aren't you?
How'd you know?
You're carrying books.
Say, you're a girl, aren't you?
Uh-huh. How can you tell?
Oh, just a hunch. Say, what's your name?
Doris. What's yours?
Robert, but my real name is Gloria.
Gloria?
That's right. My mother wanted a girl, and they never had the heart to tell her. Gosh, you're pretty, Doris. May I call you at the Kappa House for a date tonight?
Okay. Here's my phone number. If a man answers, don't hang up. It's the house mother.
Well, I gotta go, Doris. I'm supposed to see Coach Cravath about getting on the football team.
Oh, I should have been able to tell you were a football player. Just look at you in that T-shirt. Big shoulders, deep chest, strong arms, muscular beak.
That's back. Wonder how Peggy Lee is at reading lines.
I just knew the minute I laid eyes on you that you were the athletic type. You're so strong looking, so handsome, so poised.
Slower.
You're so romantic. You're so romantic and so virile. Why, you could be a movie star.
You mean it, Doris?
Yes, I do.
I have so much more than Gregory. Why should I fight it? That afternoon, I turned out for the football team. As I entered the locker room, the coach walked toward me. I could tell it was the coach. Instead of a sweatshirt, he had the alumni on his back. My heart beat faster as I ran up to him and said, "Coach Cravath, I want to play on the football team."
"All right, son. Strip to the waist and let me look you over."
"Okay. Well?"
"Reminds me, I need some pipe cleaners."
Now, wait a minute, Coach. Just feel that muscle in my arm.
All right. I don't feel any muscle in your arm.
Oh, it's probably slipped down to my leg. It'll be back up in a minute. You got to let me on the team, Coach.
Okay, I'll take a chance on you, Hope. Get yourself a uniform.
All right.
What size hip pads do you wear?
48.
Shoulder pads?
12.
Helmet?
3. I like them to fit loose.
Shoes?
Size 17. I like them to fit tight. At last, I was on the SC football team, and what a ball player I was. They called me Hope, the triple threat man. Triple threat, I couldn't run, pass, or kick. And finally, the big day arrived. USC versus Notre Dame.
What a game this is, folks. The Trojans are trailing the Fighting Irish 7-6 with only 30 seconds left to play. What's Coach Cravath going to do now?
Oh, what a terrible spot we're in. We're losing by 1 point. There's only time for one more play. Hope?
Yes, Coach.
Hope, we've used up everybody on the bench. There's no one left. I guess I'll have to send you in.
Okay, Coach. Who'll I replace?
George Tarbiter.
Well, wait a minute. He's the mascot. He's a dog.
Here's your can of Strongheart. Go.
I ran out of the field. The ball was snapped to me, and I started to run with it. 10 yards, 20 yards, 30, 40, 50. I was only 10 yards from the goal line, only 10 yards from the winning touchdown when I was tackled from behind. Then everything went black. When I woke up, the coach was talking to me.
Hope, you were great. We won the game. You did it.
Oh, but I don't understand, Coach. I was knocked down on the 10-yard line.
Your body was knocked down on the 10-yard line, but your nose went over for a touchdown.
Oh, thanks for the memory of USC's fine name. It's great scholastic fame. I thought I'd get in there so I could get out of here tonight.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, next week we have Barry Fitzgerald's father, Mr. Bing Crosby, with us. And you know, before I leave, I want to do a little hat tipping today to the 11,000 veterans here at USC. A few years ago, these fellows got a little behind with their studies, but they had a good excuse. Instead of looking through textbooks, they were looking through bomb sites and gun slots. Instead of reading about democracy and free enterprise, they were out fighting for it. Instead of reading about history, they were out making it. And now that they're back at their books, they're still working part-time for Uncle Sam. Yes, sir, these 11,000 Trojan veterans, Trovets they're known as, have started the War Memorial Scholarship Fund and will chip in their own dough to provide an education for the sons and daughters of their buddies who didn't come back. How about that? Good luck, fellas, and watch this idea spread. It's a great one. Good night.